Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be here today. I wanted to talk today about don't do it. You know, there are some things in our life that we shouldn't do. There are times when we see people about to do something when we just want to say, don't do it. Because we know the outcome is not going to be good. So I have four pictures I want to look at today with you guys. And the first one is, I hope you can see it, but it's like two ladders going up a tree. And it's just not a good situation. And it's one of those things where you just want to say, even as you see him setting it up, you want to say, don't do that. And the next one is a guy who really, really wants to reach the top of that wall. I mean, he wants to reach it so bad that he's willing to do something stupid. You just want to say, don't do that, too. And then this third picture, I don't know how well you can see this, but there's a dark circle on the top of this building, and it's a trampoline. So you really want to say don't, they don't even have a screen around the trampoline. I don't know whose bright idea this was, but somebody thought that was a good idea. So they put that up there. And then the fourth one is a poor fellow who's sitting on the wrong end of the branch. He is going to take a tumble when he gets that done. And so there are people who, there are things, you know, that you just want to say don't do it. Now I need you guys to hang in here with me this morning, because the whole time I was thinking about this, something kept going in my head, so I'm going to try to tie it all together, and it's going to sound awfully silly, but I want you to hang in there with me. You know, as I was going through this, I thought some of the best lessons I've ever learned or heard about the gospel came from kids' Christian videos, and one in particular was Salty the Singing Songbook. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. But Salty the Singing Songbook, and you can Google it, and they're still out there on YouTube. You can watch them. It taught me a whole lot of stuff. They were for my kids, but I learned more from that than a lot of pastors. I said, under no offense to anybody here in the room, but just because it was so simple, it's like, that's so simple, I never thought of that. You know, it was just cool. So, but as I was going through this message, I was thinking about Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I couldn't get it out of my head. So you guys are going to have to hang in with me to the very end to figure out where I'm going with this, hopefully. But I thought of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Now, Goldilocks was in the woods, and she came upon this house. And why she thought it was a good idea to walk into some stranger's house, I don't know. But she went in, and she saw the porridge sitting on the table. And why she thought it was a good idea to eat somebody else's food, I don't know that either. But she tasted one, and it was too hot. She tasted another one, and it was too cold. And she got to the third bowl, and it was just right. So then Goldilocks gets tired. And why she thinks it's a good idea to go sleep in some stranger's bed, I don't know that either. But she goes to the first bed, and it's too hard. So she moves on because it's too hard, and she gets the next bed, and it's too soft. But she gets to the third bed, and it's just right. So she takes her little snooze because she found the just right spot. So when we're going forward, I'm going to talk about some of this and tie it in with Goldilocks. So hang in there with me. But one thing I want to point out first of all, and it is, don't engage the enemy or Satan in conversation. Now, when Goldilocks went to the door, she probably had a conversation with herself in her head. Well, hey, I wonder if I can go in here and see what's going on. Sometimes we have conversations in our own head, but really it's a conversation with the enemy who's dropped some thoughts in our brains, and we decide to converse with them. Well, you know, maybe, you know, I can knock on the door, and if nobody's there, it's probably okay to go in this or that. And we have this conversation with ourselves. We rationalize things within ourselves. But what we're really doing is we're engaging the enemy in conversation. And that's one thing that we should never do. We were not created to converse with the enemy. We were created to converse with God. We were created by God for relationship. So we were not created to converse with the enemy. So don't do it. Don't ever do that. He's not your friend. He doesn't want the best for you. He only wants your downfall. And if we could really come to realization of that, man, we'd be in such a good place. But so many times we just try to talk ourselves into getting our own way, you know, or convincing ourselves that it's okay with God if we do this or that. You know, Satan knows how to trip us up. I was reading this morning in Job, and Job went before the throne of God, and God said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "I've been roaming the earth." And he says it like this in the New Living Translation, "I've been watching everything that's going on." Watching everything that's going on. He's watching you. He's watching me. He knows what gets me. He knows what gets you. And he's there to trip us up. So he is there trying to get us in trouble, to get us to follow him, and not to get us to follow the Lord. So there are two major lies, though, that Satan tells us that we must never believe. And these are two things that seem to come naturally to us, but I don't think they really do. I think it's learned over time. But there are two things that we should never believe. And the first lie he's going to tell us is, you are not good enough. You are not good enough. When God tells you to do something, you need to realize that God, if he's called you to do it, he thinks you're good enough. He will give you what you need to get it done. So don't believe the lie that you're not good enough, because you don't have to be good enough. You just have to be willing enough. If you're willing enough to do what the Lord tells you, then you're going to go places and you're going to be able to do things for the Lord. But if you sit there and believe that you're not good enough for this or that or whatever the Lord has told you to do, that's going to keep you from doing it, because after all, none of us want to look stupid. None of us want to fail, and sometimes we do, but we have to be willing to be obedient. So you don't have to be good enough. You just have to be willing enough. You know, Gideon and Moses thought they were not good enough to do what God called them to do. Now, granted, God called them to do a big thing. He doesn't usually ask us to go, you know, save a whole nation worth of people. But we get all bent out of shape when he tells us to go talk to a stranger about something or to give somebody some money or whatever. We think, oh no, I can't do that. Or just tell somebody that God loves them. We get all bent out of shape over that. Can you imagine if God came to you, Pastor Steve, and said, "I want you to save the United States of America. You go to the president and you do this." That's what you'd be saying. Like, yeah, I don't know. No, I think you've got your wires crossed, you know. And I've said it a million times, but when God called me into the ministry, I argued for a year because I thought, I can't do that. I can't get up and talk in front of people. I just can't do that. That's, you know, your wires got crossed, Lord, you know, but his wires are never crossed and he knows what he's doing. So, but Gideon and Moses did not think they were good enough. And Gideon said this when he was approached. He said, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." He was saying, this is too hard. Like Goldilocks, who went and laid in the hard bed, because Gideon didn't think he was good enough, he said, this is too hard. And then we have Moses, who, when the Lord was talking to him, said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." We start thinking of all the reasons why we can't instead of thinking of why we can and why we should. Instead of thinking, the Lord's going to go with me, the Lord's going to help me, the Lord's going to prepare me, I don't have to worry about any of this, which is what we should think, we immediately start telling God why this won't work. I did it. Moses did it. Gideon did it. Most of the people who think they're not good enough have a long laundry list of why they can't do this. We've got to start saying, when you hear God speak to your heart, you've got to start saying, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but show me. I'm open to you showing me how this will work, and I will be obedient. And we've got to do that. So don't think you're not good enough. We're not usually called to do the same thing, like I've already said, as Moses and Gideon. But we can do it. Whatever God calls you to do, you can do it. The second lie is, you're too good for that. So the other extreme. Sometimes when we think we're too good, we think what God's calling us to do is too soft. Like Goldilocks' bed, it's too soft. So we want to move on because God should be telling me to do something great. I always wanted to be able to sing in church. I wanted to sing and people just feel the Spirit of the Lord all over them and the Spirit just break out and everybody fall out in the Spirit because of the song I sang was so anointed. I've always wanted to do that. And unless God performs a miracle, that's not going to happen. Because I don't really have a good singing voice and sometimes I'm not even in tune. But it's a joyful noise and God likes it. I'll give you that. But sometimes that's what we want. We want those high profile kind of jobs and those things that will make us look good, or we don't want to do it. But there are so many other things that God calls us to do that He can give you the ability to do it. Just to speak to somebody one-on-one, to hand somebody who needs help some money, to clean the church bathroom. That's important. Make sure there's Kleenexes set out. Make sure there's communion stuff set out every week. Those kinds of things that are a help to everybody are important. And sometimes we think those jobs, that we're too good for those jobs. And we're not. We're not too good for anything God would call us to do. Now, Naaman had an overinflated view of himself. He was well-liked by the king of Aram. He led his armies to many victories. He was an important man. But he had leprosy. So he learned about this prophet, Elisha, who he felt would be able to heal him. And so he goes, and he has an idea of how he's going to be greeted and how he's going to be treated, and none of this happens. So he goes to the door. The servant comes out, tells him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, which he's like, that's a dirty river. Why would I want to do that? And the prophet himself did not even come out here to talk to me. Doesn't he know how important I am? And so he didn't want to do it. Scripture says, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. But that's not what happened. Naaman thought that dipping in the Jordan was too soft. Like Goldilocks. So he thought that was too soft. So he wanted to move on to a different place. But that was not too soft. That's what God wanted him to do. Now he ended up doing it and he got his miracle. But if he had chosen not to, he would not have been healed of his leprosy. If he had not been obedient, he would have missed out on the biggest blessing ever in his life. So we need to be humble and have a proper estimation of ourselves. We need to be humble because having that proper estimation of yourself is just right. That is where we need to be. The centurion in the New Testament had a proper estimation of himself. Now, a centurion was over about 100 soldiers from the research I did. He was had people under him. He had people over him. But they typically rose to in rank because they were strong. They were skilled in warfare. They were good with weapons, and it would be easy to put their confidence in their physical prowess, you know, how their strength and how good they were at things. And sometimes we as Christians do that too. We start putting our stock in our talent instead of the Lord and what he has for us. But the centurion came to Jesus, and this is what he said When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. So this centurion was concerned about other people. He was concerned about a servant and his household. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For myself, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." He knew his position and he knew the order of things and where he fit in the order of things. And he had a proper estimation of himself. So that's where we need to be. We need to be in that spot that's just right, where we know where we fit in everything. We're not too good to do anything God asks us to do, but we're not so lowly that we think we can't do it, that it can't be achieved, because we don't have that in and of ourselves. So God says some things about us. He tells us there are some truths in the Bible about us, and let's look at that. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's how much God loves us. That's how much he wants us to be in that right spot where we are. We're certainly not on the level with God. Even Jesus didn't think he was on the level with God, didn't make that something that was a thing with him. And when he was here on the earth, he just wanted to serve people. He wanted to serve people and take care of people. But, you know, Isaiah says our name is engraved on the palm of God's hand. We can see in Matthew where it says that the very hairs on our head are numbered. It also says that God is aware of sparrows when they fall to the ground, and that we are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows. So no matter, we matter to God, no matter what we may think, we matter to God. He loves us. He takes care of us. He's concerned with what concerns us. And he wants us to be able to take our place in life and to be able to be in that right estimation of ourselves. So what we need to do, or don't do it, we need to don't do this. Do not engage the devil in conversation. Do not think you're good, too good to be used by God. Don't think that's too hard. That thing that God's asking you is just too hard to do. Don't think you're better than anyone else. So don't think that whatever God has asked you to do is beneath you and it's too soft for you. Do not forget who you are in Christ. When you know who you are in Christ, you are just right. And we need to be in that place where we are just right. So just like Goldilocks, I would never ask you to go into someone's home and eat their porridge or sleep in their beds. But we do need to realize that there are things in life that we can make too hard. There are things that we think about ourselves that are too soft. We've got to be in that spot that's just right, where we are right where God places us and right where he wants us to be. So let's just pray this morning about being in the right spot with the Lord. Father, we just come before you so very thankful, Father, that you love us. So very thankful that you know what's best for us, and that when you ask us to do something, it is the right thing, and that we shouldn't be afraid of it, and we shouldn't think it's too hard. We should not think that it's beneath us and it's too soft. Lord, help us to know our right spot in life, to be humble, but have a right estimation of ourselves, Father, that we would follow after you, we would be obedient to your word, and we would do whatever you ask us to do. Father, I ask that you just bless each and every one, Father, who's listening to this message. Help each of us know our spot, Father. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you very much, Cindy. That was very helpful. I'm smarter now. And I'm going to say yes to the Lord when he calls upon me. So anyway, we're glad that you joined in too, and I know that's been a blessing for you today. So for the rest of the year, let's keep casting our cares. Let's keep trusting Jesus. Let's keep following him, and let's keep volunteering to do what God has asked us to do. So thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you again next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. God bless. Thanks for joining us.